الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، continuing with شرح العقيدة الوسطية للشيخ السابق من تيمية رحمه الله تعالى. And we are in the process, or we were in the process of proving that Allah Azza wa Jal has no equals, denying Allah's equals or anything being in the likeness of Allah, whether it is in Allah's names or Allah's attributes or Allah's actions or Allah's statements. There's nothing like Allah in all of these aspects. Okay, Allah's attributes are those of perfection. His names are the most beautiful names. His actions are based on wisdom. Their every aspect is unlike that of His creation. And we were dealing with the Jews and the Christians and the Mushrikeen. May Allah curse them all. Who the Jews said that Allah has a son and His Uzair. And the Christians said that Allah has a son and it is the Messiah. And the Mushrikun said Allah has a son or children and it is the angels. And they said they are the daughters of Allah Azza wa Jal. وقوله ولم يكن له شريك في الملك هذا معطوف على قوله لم يتخذ ولدا. Allah's statement and he has no partner in his dominion, معطوف is in conjunction with the statement of Allah which was previous to that. ولم يتخذ ولدا, he did not take a son. So he did not take a son. And he has no partner in his dominion. وعليكم السلام. يعني والذي لم يكن له شريك في الملك لا في الخلق ولا في الملك ولا في التدبير. Meaning, the one who has no partners in his dominion, no partners in his creation, no partners in his sovereignty, and no partners in arranging the affairs of his creation. كل ما سوى الله فهو مخلوق لله. Whatever is besides Allah is a creation of Allah. مَمْلُوكٌ لَهْ, belonging to Him. يُدَبِّرُهُ كَمَا يَشَاءُ, Allah arranges His or her or its affairs however Allah likes. وَلَمْ يُشَارِكُ أَحَدْ فِي ذَلِكَ, and Allah has no partners in all of these. كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى, as Allah said in another ayah, قُلِدْعُوا الَّذِينَ زَعَمْتُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ لا يملكون مثقال ذرة في السماوات ولا في الأرض. Say, meaning O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and whenever he's been addressed with that statement, قل, then we his ummah are automatically included unless there's an evidence which specifies him and excludes us. If there's no such thing, then when he says to him, when Allah says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قل, meaning I and you and the rest of the ummah has to do the same thing at some point. So we have to say also to the non-Muslims, say, call on to those who you have alleged or claimed besides Allah, call on to these gods. They do not possess the grain, the weight of a grain, or dharra usually back then was known as an ant, the weight of an ant, or nowadays they say dharra is an atom. But this is recent, right? Modern translations, because atom was discovered in recent times. Whatever. Something insignificant. The important is something that is so petty, insignificant, it doesn't matter. They don't even possess that. They don't even own that. Not in the heavens, nor in the earth. عَلَى سَبِيلِ التَّعِيِّنِ وَمَا لَهُمْ فِيهِمَا مِنْ شِرْكٍ. When Allah wanted to specify, He said, they do not possess in the heavens and the earth, they don't have any partnership. They have no partnership. على سبيل الشيوع وما له منهم من ظهير. In terms of generality, Allah says, and He does not have any assistance among them from these false gods which they call on to besides Allah. لم يعاونه أحد في هذه السماوات والأرض. None aided Him in the creation of the heavens and the earth. ولا تنفع الشفاعة عنده إلا لمن أذن له. And intercession does not benefit with Him except to those whom He allowed. Those whom He allowed, not anyone. And He only allows the shafa'ah. For the intercessor, he must be a believer. And the one who is being interceded for must also be a believer. Otherwise, it will not benefit. Right? It will not benefit. وبهذا تقطع جميع الأسباب التي يتعلق بها المشركون في آلهتهم. With this ayah, these are the ayah in Surah Saba, verses 22 and 23. The Sheikh said, with this, all of the reasons by which the mushrikeen are hoping to seek benefit from their gods have been cut off. They're hoping that they will either get shafa'ah, or that they have some sort of dominion, some ownership. They aid Allah, they intercede with Allah. Allah negated all of them. No partnership, no assistance, they don't own anything in the heavens and earth, and they cannot intercede for you. Khalas, yani they were destroyed from the ground up. You know, total destruction for the conception of their false gods. فالآلهة هذه لا تملك من السماوات والأرض شيئا معينا وليست شريكة لله ولا معينة ولا معين عفوا ولا شافعة إلا بإذنه يقول ولم يكن له شريك في الملك. So these gods do not possess anything particular in the heavens and the earth, and it is not a partner to Allah, nor is it an assistant or an intercessor except with this permission. Then Allah says, and so he has no partners in his dominion. No partners. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ. He has no partners in his dominion. سُبْحَانَهُ. وَقَوْلُهُ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ وَلِيٌّ مِنَ الذُّلِ. And he has no need of a protector out of weakness. Allah does not need a protector out of weakness. لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ وَلِيٌّ لَكِنْ قَيَّدَهُ بِقَوْلِهِ مِنَ الذُّلِ. سُبْحَانَاللَّهِ. Allah says that Allah does not have a wali, but then he can find that. He conditioned it to the statement min al-dhul, out of weakness. Why? Because Allah does have a wali, doesn't he? Does he? There's no awliya of Allah? Aswa wali? That's what we say? Hold on, the word is the same. Wali, it depends on who is being described as wali. Allah is our wali, meaning he's our protector, a caretaker, and so on and so forth. The wali as a person to Allah, waliullah, is someone who is a friend of Allah.
Yeah, not protector. Wali means usually protector, right?
The wali means whatever the context means. The word is the same. If it's being described as Allah, being described as the wali of the believers, meaning he's the helper, protector of the believers. If we say the slave is the wali of Allah, meaning he is the friend of Allah, the close friend of Allah, the chosen among Allah's creation. You clear? We'll see. وَمِنْ هُنَا لِلْتَعْلِيلِ. So that's what Allah says, لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ وَلِي. He didn't just say he doesn't have any wali, because that will negate the existence of awliya, which is incorrect. He said, مِنَ الذُّلْ, out of weakness. That's the only exclusion. Whereas the real awliya, Allah says about them, لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى لَهُ أَوْلِيَا. أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Who are they? الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. Nay, verily, the awliya of Allah, they shall not grieve, nor shall they be saddened, meaning grief concerning the future, and hazan concerning the past. Then Allah described them, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, those who believed, وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. Subhanallah. كَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ, is it what? It's فعل مضارع here, يَتَّقُونَ. And the مضارع يعني indicates, no, مضارع like present tense. And كَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ, they used to be, meaning this is something that was consistent. يعني this was their quality. Always, whenever they're in a position, their stance, their reaction was كانوا يتقون. They used to have taqwa. Anytime they're put in a position where taqwa versus lack of taqwa, their quality was taqwa. الله المستعان على حالنا. وقال تعالى في الحديث القدسي من عادى لي وليا فقد آذنته بالحرب. Allah says in the hadith Qudsi, which is sahih, whoever has enmity against one of my wali, one of my awliya, then I have declared war against him. Hey, Be careful now. ولكن الولي المنفي هو الولي من الذل. But the one that Allah negated in this ayah is the wali, the helper that is needed out of weakness, the protector that Allah needs out of weakness, that Allah does not need. لأن الله تعالى له العزة جميعا. To Allah belongs all might. فلا يلحقه الذل بوجه من الوجوه. Then disgrace, weakness does not affect Allah in any way, shape or form. لِكَمَالِ عِزَّتِ because of the perfection of Allah's might and power. That there's no room for weakness. Because He's able to do all things. Whatever He wills, He says to it, be, and it is. خلاص. Nothing beyond that. There's nothing beyond that. No one can dispute. No one can argue. You know, even the heavens and the earth. Allah says, you know, when Allah questioned them or offered them, how would they like to come? قَالَتَا أَتَيْنَا طَائِعِينَ أَتِيَا طَوْعًا أَوْ كَرْهًا. Allah told the heavens and the earth, come طَوْعًا submissively or with dislike. They said, we come with submission. They had no, either way they have no choice. But they wanted to submit to Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the authority and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَوْلُهُ وَكَبِّرْهُ تكبيرا وكبره تكبيرا and glorify him or magnify him or extol him or exalt him in the way he deserves it. يعني كبر الله عز وجل تكبيرا meaning glorify Allah عز وجل with glorification, with great glorification. بلسانك وجنانك. طب لسان جنان. See, you have to know more than one word for the Arabic words, man. With your tongue and your tongue, ya Ibrahim, Allah yasulhak. With your tongue and your tongue, twice say, Janan, heart. Hey. Why in English we have 15 words for the same word? I go, why you open the dictionary and you have synonyms for the words? Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Right? Don't confine something vast, ya Sheikh. Hey, there are a number of words. Do you know how many words for the word tamar? They have dates. Or for safe, sword. Or for camels. Some of the words among the Arabs, they have maybe 40-50 words. Very popular words because they, you know, depending on the context. Similarly in English or any language, you may call one thing a number of things. You know, any dictionary comes with synonyms. That's what a synonym is. مرادف يعني كلمة مطابقة, meaning you can take this one out and use this one instead. Right? Uneasy is difficult. You can use uneasy and you can use difficult. It's up to you. The meaning is the same.
Context.
Yeah, I mean, of course the context makes a difference. But in this case, جنان is قلب. Right? And so that's why you see the definition of أهل السنة والجماعة concerning iman, they say huwa qawlun bil lisan, it's a statement with the tongue, i'tiqadun bil janan, belief in the heart, yazidu bil ta'a, afwan, wa amalun bil arkan, deeds with the limbs, yazidu bil ta'a, it increases with obedience, wa yanqusu bil usyan, and it decreases with sins, disobedience. That's the definition of iman. Unlike the murji'a and a number of the deviant sects, even the majority among the Ahnaf, may Allah pardon us and pardon them, and the Hanafi Madhab, the majority, without mentioning any names, they believe that iman was fixed. It does not go up and down. Major mistake. Major mistake. But everybody makes mistakes. None of the imams was perfect. So that's why we don't follow any one of them blindly. Right? We pick and choose whatever is with the sunnah. Yes, pick and choose. Some people say, no, what do you mean? You're shopping, you know, when this suits you, you go to this imam, when this, exactly what I'm doing. Yes, exactly what I'm doing. Yes, not whatever suits me, whatever the sunnah is, I'm going to go for it. With all due respect to the big imam, but my imam is Allah's messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You expect me to know the sunnah from him and leave it alone because, wallah, the imam of the madhab didn't feel like this was the sunnah? No? Wrong. Blind following, extremism has led the ummah to major divisions that we're still suffering from until today. And this is something that we should all free ourselves from. Our madhab is the madhab of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Case closed. Whatever the sunnah is, whoever, whichever one of the imams happened to get it right, alhamdulillah, we follow him. this will be imam temporary, because he had that ruling correct, and the one who made it, who had a wrong ruling, Allah will reward him. Because the Prophet ﷺ said that if the hakim, if the judge makes a judgment and he gets it wrong, he will get one reward. If he gets it right, he will get two rewards. If who, the one who has knowledge to look into the textual evidences and deduce a ruling, he will be rewarded even if he is wrong. But we don't follow him on his wrong. We are not rewarded if we follow him on his error, after we know that his position is in contradiction with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then, so this is the definition of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, which is the Jumhur al Ulama, the majority of the Ulama that are counted among the three Madhahib and others, is that the Iman increases and decreases depending on your obedience. You could see this in your life. When you're more obedient to Allah, your Salah is different when then you just sinned. You know, you could feel the difference, right? So nobody needs to tell you that. It's already something that we live on a daily basis. اعتقد في قلبك أن الله أكبر من كل شيء. Believe, اعتقاد. That was called عقيدة. Where does the word عقيدة come from? Who can help us out tonight? I'm going to start doing some quizzes, man. You know, just like in school. Give you a quiz and everything. And those who failed, you know, they'll have to pay 500 riyals fee and everything, inshallah.
Excuse us.
Hey, what is عقيدة, اعتقاد? Where does this word come from? Why do we... اعتقده is one of the derivatives, but the noun, what is the noun? The main noun. Yeah, I mean, yes, all of them are... عقده. What is عقده? A knot. You tie a knot, you know, you get a bunch of ropes,
yeah,
and you tie them up, and you call this a knot. You know, K-N-O-T, right? This knot is where the word aqidah comes from, because it is fixed and tied in one's belief. This is what you اعتقد ما تعتقد, what you firmly believe. What you firmly believe. So it comes from a knot because of the strength of the knot. It is fixed. It's, you know, usually unbreakable. Aqidah. Now.
Ayn.
Bay'ah. Also bay'ah. What is?
The agreement,
there's
aqd
there. Aqd, contract. Ahsant, ay. So all of them come because they have that feeling, that meaning of coming together and fixing things up, fixing them up so they're not shaky. So you say aqidah, your belief system, that which you believe, that which you have firm belief in. Okay? طيب. اعتقد في قلبك, have this firm belief in your heart that Allah is greater than everything. Allah is greater than everything. وأن له الكبرياء في السماوات والأرض, and that to Allah belongs the كبرياء, the greatness in the heavens and the earth. وكذلك بلسانك تكبر, this is in your heart, and also with your tongue you also magnify Allah. تقول الله أكبر. Allahu Akbar. Allah is greater, or Allah is the greatest. وَكَانَ مِنْ هَدِي النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَأَصْحَابِهِ أَنَّهُمْ يُكَبِّرُونَ كُلَّمَا عَلَوْا نَسْجًا أي مُرْتَفَعًا, وهذا في السفر, لأن الإنسان إذا على في مكانه قد يشعر في قلبه أنه مستعل على غيره, فيقول الله أكبر من أجل أن يخفف تلك العلياء التي شعر بها حين على وارتفع. Now it was from the guidance of Allah's messenger, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his companions, that whenever they would go on a hill, anything that was higher than ground level, they would do takbir. They would say Allahu Akbar. Not when somebody embraces Islam, which is what we often remind brothers, don't believe us almost. After everything, or somebody, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. This is not from the Sunnah. Whoever wants to say this is Sunnah, produce an evidence that Sahabi, somebody embraced Islam during the time. And many, believe me, the whole Sahaba embraced Islam during the time of the Messenger of Allah. He was the only Muslim. So you cannot say, wallah, there were no people embracing Islam. People were embracing Islam every day. Find us a narration that says that they used to do takbir, right, in this fashion, congregational, and we'll be more than happy to do it. But
Even
the hadith of Umar ibn al-Khattab is weak narration. It's inauthentic. It may even be fabricated. He went to his house and he saw his sister reading, you know, Quran. Her husband ran in there, he slapped her, she started bleeding, he felt bad, said, what are you reading? So go make tahara. He went make tahara, came up the Quran, taha ma anzalna alayka al-Quran la tashqa. He went and he became a Muslim. Inauthentic story. Very popular.
Very popular, yeah.
Tell me about it. But it doesn't mean it's sahih. Right? You hear it from du'at. That's why you need to go back.
Rahiq al-Maktum, the
Quran. Yeah, Rahiq al-Maktum. The Imam Barakfuri, rahimahullah. Tayyib, Imam al-Barakfuri, rahimahullah, was not an angel. So we know the hadith is very popular. Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, which is an expert in this field. So when you have an expert in this field, you don't play with that. That's his field. He made a thorough study concerning this issue, right? And there's no basis for this. It's not an authentic story, even though it is very popular.
Sheikh Albani told that it is Zahir?
Nah.
So then how Umar ibn Islam?
He has another book which I have not been able to find here yet, inshallah. But I found in his comment on the one of his books, I believe it's Urwa al-Ghaleel, where he mentioned the weakness of this particular story. He mentioned that he had made a special article concerning that issue which was published, but I don't know where to get it yet. I'm waiting to get my hands on it, inshallah. I'm going to look it up online. However, he has some discussion where he brought all the narrations dealing with Umar radiallahu anhu in order to find out exactly if there's a story anyways of this nature. But until then, this story is inauthentic. Okay, if you want to use it anyways, that's between you and Allah. I'm conveying to you the statement of Sheikh al-Albani. The story is inauthentic, how Umar embraced Islam. And he came, Prophet ﷺ, you know, grabbed him by his thing, yeah, Umar, when he got, inauthentic. Very nice and sounds, you know, very exciting. He says, hey, but, you know, hey. And many famous stories are inauthentic. Even Tala al-Badru alayna. Aywa, inauthentic. Hey, nice. Allah musta'an bas ya Sheikh. It's all good. Tayyib, is anybody traumatized here? You guys are okay? No, need to call the ambulance?
In a happy occasion, it's also not.
Huh?
Takbir, Allahu Akbar.
Allahu A'lam. I mean, takbir is the remembrance of Allah. You know, we have indications that when Prophet ﷺ was happy, he would say, Alhamdulillah, alladhi bi ni'matihi tatummu salihat. Right? All praise due to Allah by His grace and His bounty, all good deeds are established. I personally don't know. Doesn't mean that it's not there. I personally don't know anything that associates takbir with excitement or happiness. We have it when going up. You know, you go up, you say takbir. You go down, say subhanallah. That's what I know. There's more, but I don't know everything. So we can look it up, inshallah, until that time. Until that time, until we find out from the ulama, as far as my tiny bitty little knowledge, I don't know of anything that says that when you're happy, you do takbir. Right? That's as far as I know. And if anybody has conflicting opinions, I'd be more than happy to entertain them. Until such time. Whenever they went up on something, they would do takbir. The Shaykh said, because if a person is in a higher place, maybe something will, he may feel in his heart that he is higher than everybody else. So the physical height has to do with the kind of mental state of mind, right? Because if I come into the masjid, right, or I'm sitting on this lofty seat and everybody's below me, Allah told you, you know, things gonna come to you that I'm someone special, right? So this is the way it goes. SubhanAllah. So due to that, he says, Allahu Akbar. Remind yourself that you're still nothing. Allah is greater than you. SubhanAllah. This is the sunnah. So he will decrease this feeling of arrogance in his heart that he is above or higher than everybody else. وَكَانُوا إِذَا هَبَطُوا قَالُوا سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. And whenever they would go in a valley or something below ground level, they would say سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ لِأَنَّ النُّزُولُ سُفُولُ. Because going down is lowliness. فَيَقُولُ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ أَيْ يُنَزِّهُ عَنِ السُّفُولِ الَّذِي أَنَا الْآنَ فِيهِ. Meaning, I glorify Allah above the lowliness that I am in right now. Meaning Allah is above the state of lowliness. Clear? So then you see the Prophet ﷺ, his remembrance of Allah was basically in all circumstances. If he went up, he would remember Allah. If he went down, he would remember Allah. If he rode an animal, he would remember Allah. There's a dhikr of rukub, right? If he went on travel, similarly, before he had relations with his wives, before he entered the bathroom, after he left the bathroom, before he ate, after he finished eating, and the list goes on. And learning these are among the best means to protect you from magic and evil eye and envy. And people always looking for Sheikh, Sheikh, you know, Qari, Sheikh, you know, do Ruqya. But by Allah's decree, had they been consistent with these adhkar, inshallah, nothing can harm them. Nothing can harm them. These adhkar are husn. They're like a fortress for the believer. That's why it's called husn al-Muslim. Huh? The Muslim fortress. Because they protect you by the will of Allah from the shaitan and his people, his followers. So learning these and acting upon them, inshallah ta'ala, is the best means of prevention. Right? If Allah decrees that you're afflicted anyways for some wisdom Allah knows, then we have means of treatment. But these are means of prevention. Memorizing these adhkar and acting upon them accordingly. Hasanan. وقوله تكبيرا هذا مصدر مؤكد يراد به التعظيم أي كبره تكبيرا عظيما. This is here basically it entails great glorification, not just regular. It's a تكبير, huge, يعني abundant. والذي نستفيده من الناحية المسلكية في هذه الآية. What are the practical benefits which we derive from these ayat or from this ayah? What is the ayah again? What is the ayah that we've been dealing with this whole time?
Surah
Al-Saba. Allah.
That is the bad.
No, Surah Al-Saba, we just quoted it as an addition to explain the ayah. What's the original ayah of this explanation? Surah Al-Isra, verse 111. وقل الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل وكبره تكبيرا. Surah Al-Isra, verse 111. This is the fifth ayah Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah quoted to prove the point that he was proving that Allah has no equals, denying Allah's equals and likenesses to Allah and so on and so forth. طيب. Practical benefit from this ayah. أن الإنسان يشعر بكمال غنى الله عز وجل في كل أحد should be عن كل أحد وانفراده بالملك. Maybe it's a typo. وتمام عزته وسلطانه وحينئذ يعظم الله سبحانه وتعالى بما يستحق وأن يعظم به بقدر استطاعته. The practical benefits are first that the person has this feeling of the perfection of Allah's self-sufficiency from everything else. He doesn't need anything and he's singled out in his sovereignty and the perfection of Allah's might and authority. And then you know that then due to that you will glorify Allah the way that is befitting to him as much as you're able to do so to the best of your ability. Right. وَنَسْتَفِيدُ حَمْدَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى عَلَى تَنَزُّهِ عَنِ الْعُيُوبِ كَمَا يُحْمَدُ عَلَى صِفَاتِ الْكَمَالِ. We also benefit in terms of praising Allah for being free from all deficiencies and imperfections, the same way we praise Him for His perfect attributes. So praising Allah is, as Allah began in the Quran, الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. You praise Allah for His beautiful names and attributes, the attributes of perfection, and for being free from any deficiency. And that's the ultimate praise. And that's the only one who deserves praise. Because we said, you will find among the creation, those who deserve praise. However, they have a lot of deficiencies, right? So the only one who has no deficiencies, all perfection, is Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is why he should be worshipped. And if this is the case, if we were to use these standards, this yardstick, and to measure all the false gods that the people worship today, you will find that none of them can measure up anywhere near Allah. Any idol that the people worship, if you were to spit on it, it can't stop you. If you were to come in the face of one of these idols that the Hindus, you know, worship, and you were to spit in its face, is it going to stop you? Say, ah, you missed. Huh? I'm a god. Say, oh wow, nice. Psh, nothing. You smack that thing, right? Nothing. You go do worse than that. You bring a hammer. You break it like Ibrahim. He came, he started breaking, you know, just knocking out these false gods. And his people come, who did this to Ali Hatina? Who did this to our God? He said, this big one. Ask him, right, if they speak. So they're like, how did he know that they don't speak? Stupid people, man. And that's really what happens when you're a kafir. Alhamdulillah, none of you is a kafir. But kuffar are among the dumbest of the creation. In fact, they are the dumbest of the creation. Really? Now, he may be nice in his math, in his science, he may come up with a lot of nice fancy stuff, but in terms of belief, dumber than animals, because the animals recognize Allah, they live according to Allah's will, and they remember Allah night and day. The kafir is too busy to do so, to understand it. So, this is what Allah said in the salah. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ شَرُّ الْبَرِيَّةِ. You know what that means? Those are the worst of creation. Allah is telling that, telling us about His creation. So we will have no doubt. Mushrikeen and أهل الكتاب, the kuffar, the mushrikeen and أهل الكتاب, huh? فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمْ, in the hellfire. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, abiding therein eternally. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ شَرُّ الْبَرِيَّةِ. They are the worst of creation. That means that we should keep that in mind all the time. When you know someone is the worst of creation, you don't imitate a loser. You see, that gives us Muslims that self-dignity, that honor which by which we get closer to Allah. Because we are in such a lofty status compared to the kuffar, by the grace of Allah, not because we're special, it's a bounty from Allah upon us. But we are such in a lofty status in comparison to them, that there's no way that you would imitate someone who Allah said is the worst of creation. You see? And this is what the Sahaba understood. This is what Rasulullah tried to instill in his Sahaba. So anytime he saw any one of them, whether in his clothing or in his appearance resembling the kuffar, he made it a point, do this, do not imitate the kuffar. He saw a companion wearing from saffron clothing. He said, take it off, this is the clothing of the kuffar. He didn't let him wear it, told them to change it. He saw some of the elders with a white beard. He said, change it, dye it, do not imitate the kuffar. He saw, and the list goes on. So much so that who understood this message? The Jews. They said, the Jews, this man, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is not going to leave anything in our religion except that he will go against it. They understood the objective, that the Prophet ﷺ was trying to instill in the Ummah distinct qualities whereby we don't need to imitate anyone in any area of life. Right? We have been given this blessings from Allah. So we fall very short and we destroy Islam, and we're in fact doing a disservice to Islam when we run after these losers and abandon the deen of Allah behind our backs and the teachings of Islam and try to imitate, you know, the celebrities or their likes or even the worse than that. And so, you know, this is what we need to have a total understanding of. This blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He made us Muslims, and so we should be proud of this Islam, and we and the disbelievers are on the opposite sides of the road. We cannot, you know, there's no harmony between us except for the da'wah, for the sake of Allah and in order to establish the proof amongst them. And if Allah decrees that we coincide with them where we live, I mean we coexist, I'm sorry, and then Allah told us to be just with them and to treat them with justice, and there's no harm in being kind to those who are not declaring war against us, and we have guidelines in Islam which teach us how to deal with them. But to take them be more than that, your buddy, your friend is a kafir, it doesn't work. Only a Muslim. Rasulullah said, let no one eat your food except the taqi. وَلَا تُصَاحِبْ إِلَّا مُؤْمِنٍ. Do not take as a companion except a believer. And let no one eat your food except a righteous person. Right? Now you may invite someone who's not practicing so you can give him da'wah. Right? But your buddy, the one you eat with, should be a righteous man. Because you sit with a righteous man, and he will tell you about the sunnah. Brother, with which hand you eat with someone who's not practicing, you eat with his left hand, he will burp out loud, he will make noise, he will disgrace you, right? So sitting with the righteous people is means for you to also obey Allah. They remind you of Allah, because they're always trying to practice the deen of Allah. When you sit with the losers, and then, you know, you get a share of their loss, unfortunately. So may Allah keep us self-sufficient, so we don't have to imitate anyone, and we find pride in our Islam, and all praise is due to Allah. So this concludes that. Al-Ayah Sadisa, the sixth ayah in this chapter, قوله تعالى يسبح لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. سورة التغابن, التغابن verse 1a. Everything in the heavens and the earth glorifies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To Him belongs the dominion, and to Him belongs all praise, and He is able to do all things. يُسَبِّحُ بِمَعْنَى يُنَزِّهُ عَنْ كُلِّ صِفَةِ نَقْصٍ وَعَيْبٍ. Now this is very fundamental. وَسَبَّحَ تَتَعَدَّى بِنَفْسِهَا وَتُتَعَدَّى بِنَفْسِهَا وَتُتَعَدَّى بِاللَّمْ. What does سَبَّح mean? Because we said many times, we say Subhanallah, سَبِّح اللَّهِ, يُسَبِّح اللَّهِ, إِلَى آخِرِهِ. What does that really mean? تَسْبِيح means to declare Allah free from all imperfections. To raise Allah above any deficiency. To glorify Allah above any weakness, any deficiency, any imperfection. Freeing Allah from all of that. Okay? Hey, that's what سبح, يسبح, تسبيح means. The Shaykh said, وسبح, وسبح, it may come on its own, or it may be preceded with a lamb. We will see. أما تعديها بنفسها, as when it comes on its own, فمثل قوله تعالى لتؤمنوا بالله ورسوله وتعزروه وتوقروه وتسبحوه بكرة وأصيلا. سورة الفتح verse 9. So you may believe in Allah and His Messenger, and you may assist His Messenger and honor His Messenger and glorify Allah in the night and the day. And glorify Allah in the night and the day. وأما تعديها باللام فهي كثيرة فكل الصور المبدوعة بهذا متعدية باللام. قال العلماء وأنا أريد وإذا أريد مجرد الفعل تعدت بنفسها وتسبحوه فمعنى وتسبحها أي تقول سبحان الله. So if it comes in this context, this is very technical in fact, and I don't know how practical it would be to translate it. على كل حال, he's basically dealing with the lamb preceding lafdhul jalala, tasbih lillah, yusabbihu lillah, or sabbihullah, and he's just going into the difference that the ulama have mentioned in this technical point, whether it is preceded with a lamb or it is not preceded with a lamb. Ala kulli hal, when it is preceded with a lamb, it means ikhlasan, do it sincerely. Tasbih lillah meaning for the sake of Allah, doing it for the sake of Allah. وَقَوْلُهُ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ عَامٌ يَشْمَلُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. That which is in the heavens and that which is on the earth, that includes everything. Everything is included. The whole universe, in fact, is included. لكن التسبيح نوعان, تسبيح بلسان المقال وتسبيح بلسان الحال. Very crucial, very crucial. Tasbih is of two kinds. Lisanul maqal, meaning with the verbal statement, utterance of a statement, saying Subhanallah. It's called Tasbih al maqal. Okay, or Lisan al maqal. Afwan, Lisan al maqal. Walisanul hal, meaning the condition of something, even if there's no verbal statement. The condition of something is doing Tasbih without the utterance of any statements. Example. أما التسبيح بلسان الحال, as for the statement, فهو عام. Allah says, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ, I'm sorry, as the statement in the condition, the tasbih with the condition, now with the tongue, it includes everything. Because Allah says in Surah Al-Isra, verse 44, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ. There isn't a single thing, مِّن شَيْء, not a thing, except that it does tasbih to Allah. Everything, even the pebbles in the hands of the Prophet ﷺ, he heard them do tasbih. The mountains do tasbih. The birds do tasbih. Right or wrong? Right or wrong? This is in the Quran, Surah Al-Mulk, right? And other in the Surah Al-Nur, I believe. All these were mentioned that Allah says, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ. But what did Allah say afterwards? The Shaykh didn't mention, وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. But you do not comprehend their glorification. Everything is glorifying Allah, you just don't understand it, you don't hear it. right? But it has taken place. وأما التسبيح بلسان المقال, as with the verbal statement, فهو عام كذلك. It is also general, but what is excluded? Who is the only creation who doesn't glorify Allah with this statement? Everything in the creation, we said in its condition is glorifying Allah, and in its statement, one exception that does not glorify Allah. Kuffar. These are the only ones who are missing. Yeah. Everything else, you know, all the creation, animals, plants, sun, moon, heavens, earth, no problem. Kuffar, problem.
And atheist also.
Who?
Atheist.
Yeah. He's a kafir. Kuffar includes every disbeliever in the truth. Anyone who rejects the truth. Now, in what manner, right, what are their reasons for rejecting the truth? This is another discussion. But ultimately, all of them are kuffar. That's what a kafir is. Someone who rejects the truth. Someone who hides the truth. Is it because of atheism, accepting other gods, making other gods, rejecting the concept of God? This is irrelevant. The term befitting is kafir. And be careful of some who say, you can't call the kuffar kafir. Okay, this is an error on behalf of some of our brothers who, I don't know what the basis of their statement is, but we've had some issues with this already. There's no such thing as you cannot call the kafir kafir because Allah called them a kafir. Okay? They are kuffar. You know, if somebody doesn't like it, then, you know, they don't like what Allah said about them.
And
kafir, disbeliever, unbeliever, rejecter, whatever you want to call him. But the Jews and the Christians, he is described as a kafir. Until he becomes a Muslim, he's a kafir. Don't call him nothing else. Don't say he's a kafir, meaning a zurra. He's a farmer. Huh? And they get you some verse from the Quran where Allah says, يُغِيظُ بِهِ الزُرَّاعِ إِلَى آخِرِهِ. They get some verse which say that, which means in one area, الكفار عفواً, الكفار, one time kufar meant farmers. So they use this and say that all across the Quran now, kufar means zurra, farmers. Ajeeb, wallahi, ajeeb. People bring outlandish things. I don't know from where and why and for what purpose and who are they trying to please with these statements. Either it's major ignorance or it's some evil tendencies, and we assume from all Muslims just ignorance. We don't think that they have evil tendencies trying to please the kuffar. We assume that everybody, inshallah, doesn't have these intentions, but it's ignorance to come and say that, you know, a kafir is not a kafir. And I've had people, you know, oppose me in a lecture. You know, I'm telling the people, kuffar, I said, no, don't call them that. Subhanallah. In front of everybody, right? And almost open a debate. It's not time for debating, you know. Because, you know, you don't want to go into things and cause the average people to think that there's conflict among the Muslims. But we need to be aware of that, okay? Don't. If you hear someone say the kafir, a Jew and a Christian is not a kafir, then you need to reconsider taking knowledge from this person, right? And I can give you references to why this is incorrect. We dealt with this in our morning class in Riyadh al-Salihin. For those who were there, they know why. جيد. نعم. الآية السادسة. نعم. So the Shaykh رحمه الله then said that these are two kinds. لكن يخرج منه الكافر. فإن الكافر لم يسبح الله بلسانه. The disbeliever does not glorify Allah with his tongue. ولهذا يقول تعالى سبحان الله عما يشركون. سبحان الله, glory be to Allah, high above Allah, any deficiency concerning that which they associate with Him. سبحان الله عما يصفون, glory be to Allah concerning that which they ascribe to Him, that which they describe Him with. فهم لم يسبحوا الله تعالى, they did not glorify Allah. لأنهم أشركوا به, because they associated partners with Him. وصفوه بما لا يليق به, and they described Him with that which does not befit His Majesty. فالتسبيح بلسان الحال يعني أن الحال كل شيء في السماوات والأرض تدل على تنزيه الله سبحانه وتعالى. So then, تسبيح, and once the condition of the creation without the tongue, means that everything in the heavens and the earth is an indication that Allah is free from imperfection. And you just look at the creation of Allah, and that concept is Subhanallah. How perfect Allah's creation is. Really, if you look into the creation, it's amazing. You, a human being, I mean, have you ever pondered upon yourself when you look in the mirror, right? And you see that you have these eyelashes, right? Which are so accurately located in order to protect you from anything that may harm. How sensitive is the eye? And throughout your life, you may not put your finger in your eye ever. Even though the chances should be very high that somebody's finger will go in his eye. But as soon as you go like this, your eye closes. Ishad. Right? Imagine if your eye didn't close, but your eyeball will fall out, right? Or you pop it in, and the brother will have a hole in his face. That's the way to go in there and dig it out. But that doesn't happen. As soon as you go like this, your eye closed. Hey, the reflex of the son of Adam. You know, something happens, Allah told you, you move in such a way, you may be carrying a plate, and you almost drop it, and you go like this, you catch it in mid-air. Ajib, right? And your feet, these feet that you walk on, it's skin. You go on the sand, you run on, some people walk on the street, look at the Shabab playing soccer outside, barefooted. And subhanAllah, imagine if your foot just ripped. As soon as something, soft touched your foot ripped open and just opened up and your whole blood and muscles and everything came out. Doesn't happen. So the creation itself is amazing. It's all the greatness of Allah. How, the son of Adam came, and all this came from a sperm. All this, you were a sperm that ovulated, that fertilized an egg, and then this tiny little thing, the clog of blood became grew bones, and everything came out, and boom, here you are, a big old man, walking down the street. Ajib. And the list goes on, right? But we don't, unfortunately, we don't reflect as much about these things, but we should. I'm reflecting now. I wish I would reflect that much more often outside the desk. But the idea is that this is what will make you realize the greatness of Allah. SubhanAllah, it's amazing, the creation. And so everything then is doing tasbih in this fashion. تنزيه الله سبحانه وتعالى عن العبث وعن النقص, meaning foolishness, it doesn't befit Allah. So those who say, Allah says, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ, do you then assume that we created you for foolish reasons and that you will not be returned to us? So then, we free Allah from such a claim that everything was created for nothing, as some of the agnostics or the theists claim that God created the deists, I believe. He created the creation and then he just didn't have anything to do with them. They believe in a God who created the creation and left them to run business on their own. There's no accountability, no revelation, nothing. Right? So these are like supposedly better than the atheist who denies the concept of God completely, and the agnostic who says, well, there may be a God, but there may not be a God. I'm really not sure. Right? So they call him lazy atheists. Yeah, he's just like, I don't say there's no God, right? But I don't say that there's a God either. Alhamdulillah, we don't punch these people every time we see him. Tayyib. حتى الكافر إذا تأملت حاله وجدتها تدل على تنزه الله سبحانه وتعالى عن النقص والعيب. Even if you were to reflect upon a kafir, you will see in this disbeliever the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal in terms of the creation. Again, the point that I was making, that even in a disbeliever, whatever Allah gives him, sustenance and provision, and he gives him the ability to survive, you glorify Allah above any imperfection due to the greatness and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وأما التسبيح بلسان المقال فيعني أن يقول سبحان الله. And glorifying Allah verbally, then it is to say سبحان الله. سبحان الله. وقوله له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. To him belongs the dominion and to him belongs all praise, and he is able to do all things. هذه الصفات الأخيرة صفات ثبوتية. These last attributes are affirmative. They affirming the qualities of Allah. Earlier, لم يكن له شريك في الملك. لم يتخذ ولدا. Negating. Now, affirming. سبحان الله. وسبق ذكر معناها. We have already explained the meaning. لكن يسبح لله صفة سلبية لأن معناها تنزيه عما لا يليق به. But يسبح لله, he said it's a negating quality because it is negating Allah having any deficiency. نعم أحسنت. So that concludes the sixth ayah. Insha'Allah ta'ala, if everyone remains alive and healthy to come here again, and you're still interested in coming here again, that is, next week inshallah we'll be dealing with the seventh and the eighth ayah. dealing with the same topic, and we'll be very much closer to getting to the istiwa, the Allah rising above His throne. Hey, we're just around the corner. We got a few pages to go. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.
No, let's take only the help.